Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Having a great day, bro.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
Another great day in the Lord.
Amen. Amen. If you are listening to this, it would be a great time, if you have not already, to download the Good Fight Radio Network. It is live. It is running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are so excited. If you missed the launch party, the 2-hour launch party where we talk about the entire radio network, the people that are going to be on it, some of the people that are going to be on it, as well as taking your Q&As, you guys can go see that video, that full 2 hours on the Good Fight Ministries Facebook page. And if you're listening to this via podcast and haven't already subscribed to the Good Fight Radio Show YouTube channel, you can do that as well. So I want to encourage you guys in that. And with all that, let's discuss something really, really important, because we are sitting here on May 14th is when this is being recorded. Now, May 14th is a wonderful date. When we look back on May 14th, 1948, we remember that that was the day that the prophecy in Isaiah 66, specifically when I read it, was fulfilled. And that is a nation becoming a nation in a day. The fact that God's word was very clear that that would take place. And it happened on May 14th, 1948, when Israel became a nation in one singular day. It is so powerful to think about that. And I absolutely love talking prophecy. We do Typology Tuesday every Tuesday, and we talk about the things that God predicted, that he said specifically in his word, that that's how he would be different than all of the other false gods.
Amen.
And he was specifically talking about Israel, actually, telling the end from the beginning. So if you guys go look at that text, and I absolutely love that. I love talking about prophecy. But today, not only are we going to be talking about prophecy, we're going to be talking about how does that play into an event that took place today on May 14th. And Tony, instead of me talking about it, why don't we play the video?
Prior to Mass at Casa Santa Marta, Pope Francis reiterated the Higher Committee of Human Fraternity's invitation to all religions to make this May 14th a day of prayer and fasting to ask God for an end to the pandemic.
Tutti siamo fratelli.
Higher Committee of Human Fraternity was formed after Pope Francis and the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar signed the Document of Human Fraternity in Abu Dhabi in February 2019. The joint statement calls people of goodwill to combine their efforts to promote universal peace.
So, Joe, what do you think? You think we should be combining our efforts with other world religions so that we can get COVID-19 out of here? Or do you believe that COVID-19 and the Pope are helping to usher us in to a one world religion situation that's also talked about somewhere in some book?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy when you think of all the things that are going on right now. Of course, the elitists in the world are using, as they say, you know, leading liberal in Obama's campaign, was it Rahm Emanuel, stated that you never let a good crisis go to waste. Right now, you see, with regard to the rise of technology and the Mark of the Beast system getting closer every day, you see people that are in charge of a lot of technology really saying, hey, let's use this to, you really see a big brother system forming. We also see liberals and some so-called Republicans wanting bigger and bigger government to be in charge of us. We also see that they're looking at, you know, using the military to distribute the vaccine when it comes and so forth. We'll see what happens there. Hopefully that's all that is. It's just kind of crazy when you see all these different things going on, and we see all these false prophets that are rising, that are saying, you know, making all these strange statements that are unscriptural, that are garnering even Christian viewers, which is crazy. Like the pandemic video had a bunch of bad information, but a lot of Christians were passing that around as though it was truth, but it was a new ager that produced it. So what else do we have? Well, the Bible talks about a global religion. It says every nation, people, and tongue will worship the beast. That is a world religion. We know there'll be a one world commerce system, a one world economy. It talks about everybody taking a number or the number of a name, a mark, or the number a name or the number of the name on the right hand or forehead to buy or sell in this coming world economy. So we see globalism. We see people wanting a global economy. We see people wanting, you know, vying for world religion. We see people panicking, wanting to rely more and more on government as though in scientism. Scientism is just man's knowledge, you know. It's kind of a joke when we talk about, don't you believe in science? Like the science that you're proffering right now, that there's 100 different sexual genders. You know, no, I don't. I don't believe that's science. That's not biblical science. That's not reality, you know. So we have a lot of things in concert working together right now that we as Christians would be wise to pay attention to. And I think it is kind of interesting that the Pope, you know, called for all the religions to join together and pray together as though they're all praying to the same God and to bring the world together to stop COVID-19. Does he realize that the Bible says God will bring severe judgments during the tribulation period because people did not stop worshiping their demon gods? Read Revelation chapter 9, folks.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I wanted to point out is the fact that this is not just uncommon in the Catholic faith, that people think that, well, you can just pray to whoever and he will listen. In fact, that specific contrast is given in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29. It says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Now, that statement is far different than when Jesus talked about the publican and the Pharisee, where the Pharisee comes to say, pray, thank God I'm not as bad as this man. And the publican is there in repentance.
That's right, crying out to God to get right with him.
This is crying out to God that he would display the one true God.
To Yahweh, yeah.
Yahweh. This isn't people saying, I believe in Allah and he has no son. Let's all pray together. This isn't people saying there are a million gods. Let's all pray together. This isn't people saying that we can go to the planet Kalab and be our own gods. Let's all pray together. This isn't saying Jesus is the Archangel Michael. Let's all pray together. Because those prayers, ones that are not repentant, ones that are not seeking out as Jesus promised in John 7:17, if your desire is to the will of the Father, you will know his doctrines are from God. You'll know Jesus if your desire is actually to follow the Father. And so we know that clearly. So these prayers are an abomination to God. These prayers are not something that we look at him and go, well, isn't that great? At least we're uniting with the pagans. Isn't this fantastic?
No, so true. I mean, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, that means no one in the Greek too, yeah. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, which many in these pagan religions do, there's all kinds of scathing things stated against the Christianity and with all kinds of religious leaders. And, you know, look at the Wiccan leaders. What about the Church of Satan? You know, what about your average pagan that blasphemes Christ or considers Christ not even a deity, you know, when he's the one true God? We're supposed to believe that they can all reunite with us, and we all call it the same God, and God's going to hear us. This is ridiculous. In fact, listen to what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 and following. And how does this fit with what the Pope is saying? Now, keep in mind, the Pope is endorsing the call to, quote, believers of all the religions to unite together spiritually on May 14th in a day of prayer and fasting to implore God to help humanity overcome the coronavirus pandemic. I mean, there's a lot of wicked things about this, besides just calling people to pray to demon gods, you know? I mean, he's basically making people that are dead in their sins, that need to repent and get right and get saved before they face a Christless eternity, to feel that they're okay in their relationship with their God. Well, Paul writes this, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with the temple of idols? And there's thousands of idol temples that the Pope is talking about to these folks about praying to their gods. For we are the temple of the living God, just as God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, it's conditional, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. In other words, the Lord will not hear our prayers even if we refuse to come out of the midst of the pagans.
Amen.
And do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises of being his children, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
You know, it's really interesting because it really makes me think of a couple events and statements. One statement made by Rick Warren that Papa Francis, which is what Pope means.
And his name is really George, what is it, Bergoglio?
Yeah.
Let's just call him George.
Yeah, George.
You know, Pope Francis.
Or
just
Frankie,
sounds,
yeah.
They call him Pope and Pope Francis and people just, oh, the guy's name is George.
Yeah, or Jorge, I think, maybe the Argentinian.
Well, in Spanish, yeah.
Yeah, Spanish. But nonetheless, when you think about it, he was saying that he is our Pope as well, right? That this is what George, Frankie, you know, whatever you want to call him, that he's also our Pope. And this reminds me of something that he did as well. Rick Warren, along with a bunch of other liberals, when they signed the Common Word document with all of those Muslims, and you cover that at length in the Submerging Church DVD that we have. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching that and seeing this, and I remember actually my first ever church service. Since I came to Christ January 19th, if you go look back at the date, January 25th or maybe it was 26, right around there. Well, the first church service I went to was right after the inauguration, and guess who led the prayer? Mm-hmm. It was, guess who? Rick Warren. And what did he say to start that prayer? To the most merciful and compassionate one. And by the way,
the term for the Muslim God, right?
And that is something, I've been going through the Quran now for the entire month of Ramadan. I'm almost finished with
the Quran. I mean to talk to you about that, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, we got the Gordon Nichols commentary on it. And Gordon Nichols is an excellent scholar on this subject. In fact, the argument.
I bought that for myself, but then I saw Chad. I said, I know he'd love this, so I gave it to him.
Yeah, and I read stuff on Islam all the time. It's one of my favorite subjects. And Gordon Nichol made a very common argument now that you guys will hear in circles, is the fact that the Quran actually affirms that the Bible is from Allah. Now, he's actually from the one true
God. People of the book.
The people of the book. And he actually affirms that not only is the Bible from Allah, but that Allah's word cannot be corrupted. So therefore, when you say that Jesus is not God, and you believe that Mary is God, which is what it teaches in the Quran, that the Christians believe, that it's not a good argumentation because you believe those words can't be corrupted. And that's, you know, by the way, they used to say,
if you go by Muhammad's words, God's words can't be corrupted. If the Bible is first from God, can't be corrupted.
And Gordon Nichol was the one who popularized that.
That argumentation.
And he does a great job in it in a book. And I've been reading through his commentary and just seeing that merciful and compassionate. It brought back that memory of that first message I ever heard. Because I remember watching the inauguration. And I remember seeing all that. And he calls Jesus Isa, which is not even, by the way, the Arabic name for Jesus
that we know
from history as well. Because we have documents at that time that actually have the true name of Jesus.
They have a specific understanding of who Isa is, and he's not the Jesus of the Bible.
Yeah, amen.
Muslims, yeah.
Amen. And I just remember
amalgamation,
that, like that lie, and this is exactly in the Quran, that it mentions making these sorts of quote-unquote covenants, and it's really interesting.
That's the one word. Yeah, the
common word.
Common, you know.
And this covenant, is something that the Quran specifically says to do, that Muslims teach, to make these, you know, quote unquote, which I think is really interesting when we talk about the breaking of the covenant, when we talk about what the scripture says about end times. And then you look at very clearly, what's the thing that it just said that George was doing up there? Signing a contract, signing a document.
Robert Shula had signed it. He was far more popular than Rick Warren. He was his mentor in some ways, according to Rick Warren's wife. And he was the Crystal Cathedral gentleman who was a false prophet. You know, the robes, the huge crystal cathedral, some of you remember that. And he had said that we need to line up, all of us need to line up under the true shepherd. And he wasn't talking about Jesus. You look at the context, he was talking about under the Pope. We need to come back to the fold. Schuller before Rick Warren. Rick Warren followed in his footsteps, same Orange County, went door to door. What do you want me to preach on? That's exactly how Schuller started
his
church.
Could you imagine?
What do you want me to preach on? In other words, instead of come and hear God's word, it's like, how can I tickle your ears? And that's what Rick Warren has been known for. A mixture of truth and error and ear tickling and ecumenism. So the ecumenism in this that's going on here is quite serious because the Roman Catholic Church, by the way, I think it's interesting, Chad, because you mentioned the Common Word document. The Roman Catholic Church didn't even sign that. Rick Warren did, you know. Robert Schuller did, you know. Some of the emergent leaders did, but the Roman Catholic Church has been very, very ecumenical through the years. And it's just, it's amazing that we're supposed to just line up and accept all of this. And it's interesting because the Roman Catholic Church got started under paganism. I mean, when you look at true Christianity, and you see it in its purest form in the first 150 years of church history, then you see, you know, some of the church fathers start to pick up some strange things, but it's not full-blown Roman Catholicism. And by the time Constantine comes around, you have Constantine, Christus Vicarius. He's the vicar of Christ, you know, the one that stands there as the emperor instead of Christ is what that means. But it's interesting. He basically blended Christianity with paganism because he saw that it was politically expedient and that so many people had become Christians in their own empire. It was weakening them as a pagan power. And he therefore tried to blend paganism with Christianity. Even one of the coins that he had minted when he was quite old had pagan gods on it. That was under his authority and his direction. So it's quite interesting. But listen to what Pope, and by the way, think about Catholicism in Haiti. It's a mixture of voodoo. And in fact, there's a saying that it's 85% Catholic. That is Haiti's form of Christianity. And 100% Verduan, which is voodoo, you know. So it's interesting. Also, think of Santeria. It's a blend of African witchcraft and Catholicism. You know, if you go to Rio de Janeiro, you'll see the Catholic faithful. They'll be worshiping in front of cemeteries a bunch of so-called saints, but they're actually African gods. So what I'm saying is the Catholic Church has allowed this for centuries, a mixture of paganism and Catholicism, and called it Christianity. In fact, it's interesting because Pope Paul VI, okay, he signed on to the so-called, or he blessed the so-called Catholic led Louvain Declaration, which states, quote, Buddhists, Christians, Confucianists, Hindus, Jains, Jews, Muslims, Shintoists, Sikhs, Zoroastrians, and still others, we have sought here to listen to the spirit within our varied and venerable religious traditions. We have grappled with the towering issues that our societies must resolve in order to bring about peace. False peace, the Bible says in the last days. Justice and an ennobling life or quality of life for every person and every people. We rejoice that the long era of prideful and even prejudiced isolation of the religions of humanity, we hope, are now gone forever. That would be the isolationist view of Jesus, that I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, if we're going to actually be consistent. In fact, I think it's interesting that Pope John, he went to India, and when he went to India and spoke to a huge audiences of Hindus there, he said, we have not come to, we have not come to teach you, but I haven't come here to teach you, but I've come to learn from your, quote, rich spiritual heritage. Now, these are people that are worshiping Kali, that are worshiping rats, that are worshiping cows, that are worshiping demon gods. Can you imagine Paul in Athens? He said, I haven't come here to instruct you. I've come here to learn about your great spiritual
heritage. What do the Epicureans teach?
Yeah. No, it says when he went to Athens, in Athens it was said that there was more idols than humans there. That was one of the sayings, right? It says when Paul went to Athens, he says he was grieved
in the spirit,
in the spirit by all the idols. He was vexed, I think it says in the King James. It's just like, how sad, how sick, because he loved the one true God. He loved the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for the sins of the world. He was excited about the truth and that people could be saved. He had been redeemed, right, from Judaism. He had been redeemed from a dead form of, you know, religion, and he knew what it was to know the Lord. So when he saw demon gods, he saw idols that were distracting people, he didn't say, hey, it's great that you guys are so, you know. He said, you know, he says, I see that you're very religious. By the way, the word religious in the Greek is daemon gods, that you're a worshiper of daemon gods, you know. And daemons were the names of all their, you know, their false gods, which they didn't understand to be demons. But Paul says those who worship these idols are actually worshiping demons. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Amen. So you have different popes in the past who have promoted the worship of different gods in the name of worshiping the one God.
Yeah, we have a video available, Megiddo, that shows the clips of shamans and
up there with Pope Paul,
snake charmers, and all these guys
standing up there with Pope John Paul on stage worshiping together.
One of the most beloved popes of all time, actually, too.
Absolutely,
which is crazy.
Absolutely. In fact, it's interesting. You know, read the scripture. You know what sin God comes against more than any other sin in the Old Testament? And it's not even close. It's idolatry.
It's idolatry, yeah.
I mean, there's more words spent against worshiping false gods than any other sin. And if you have a Roman Catholic background, we're not hating on you. We love our Roman Catholic friends, you know. If you have a Roman Catholic, if you're listening, you're Roman Catholic, we love you. God loves you. The Roman Catholic Church is compromising God's truth. They're Amen. Promoting error. They're promoting false religion. They're promoting false gods. And they're saying that everybody can just worship their gods. And we're all basically praying to the same God. That's a lie. You never see that in Scripture. In fact, the Pope is saying, Pope George or Pope Francis is basically saying, do this so we can have peace, you know, get rid of the disease. And that's what the Bible says is that there'll be a false one world religion in the end that will give way to the worship of the Antichrist ultimately. And it will come in the name of a false peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul says, he's talking about the end times, and he says, while people are saying peace and security, destruction will come upon them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. In Daniel chapter 8, listen to what it's going to be like when the Antichrist rises, verse 23 and following, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. It's going to come after God's people. And through his policy also shall he cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart. Now listen to this. And by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. He's going to stand up against Christ, and he's going to be preaching peace. The world's going to be saying peace and safety. He's going to have a false prophet that's going to be working on his behalf. He destroyed Christians and the holy people. Go after the Jews, Revelation chapter 12. Go after Christians, the very end of Revelation chapter 12. And he's going to be doing it in the name of peace, in the name of world religion. And guess what? Guess who's going to be the ones who are going to be at the receiving end? Those who follow. It says those who remain loyal to Jesus and keep his commandments. Yeah. Well, keeping his commandments means not bowing down to the beast and his image, not following the false prophet, not worshiping idols, not pretending that we're all worshiping together. And it says the whole world will worship the beast. That's a worldwide religion that's coming, folks. And Satan's the father of lies. It says he deceives the whole world in Revelation 12:9. He deceives even the elect. And the saddest thing, if possible, even the elect, Matthew 24:24. And he'll do great signs and wonders showing if deceiving, if possible, even the elect. And what is it? 2 Thessalonians 2, where it says he comes with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish, or with all kinds of counterfeit miracles. And so it's just crazy because there's a lot of counterfeiting going on. Pharaoh, his magicians, counterfeited the first few miracles that were done by Moses and Aaron. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 says last days terrible times will come. And just like Jannes and Jambres, those magicians, these people will deceive and lead people astray. So we're warned in scripture about counterfeit miracles. When it's in Matthew 24:24, I alluded to that scripture a moment ago. It says, for false Christs and false prophets will rise, showing great signs and wonders, deceiving, if possible, even the elect. So they'll be doing counterfeit or false signs and wonders. This needs to be stressed, brothers and sisters, because there's a lot of that going on right now. A lot of that going on at Bethel and other places, many of the same places that are friendly to the Pope. Why are we stressing this? Because the false prophet in the end times, guess what he'll look like? It says he speaks like a dragon. But what does he look like, you guys? Do you remember that? He looks like a
lamb.
Like a lamb, yeah. And he speaks like a dragon. Yeah. So he looks like he represents Christianity. And I do believe this false religion will also claim to represent Christianity. Why? Because we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. We're fighting against Satan's against us, the church. Mm-hmm. He wants to deceive as many as possible. He's targeting us. He doesn't want us to believe. He hates us more than anyone. So guess what he's going to do? He's going to roll a false prophet out there that looks like a lamb. By the way, the term lamb is used over 30 times of Jesus in the book of Revelation. That's more than the rest of the Bible put together. But it's used once in reference to what the false prophet will look like. That's pointing out to us that he looks like he represents Christianity. And that's why I believe it's very likely that a pope, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, the Roman Catholic Pope will be the false prophet, looking like a lamb, but speaking the words of the devil, seeking out a world religion. At that time, all the world religions will, it says that the Antichrist will sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, okay? And that he'll exalt himself above all that is called God or worshiped as God. So there'll come a point where the Antichrist will say, and Satan and the Antichrist will say, I want all the worship. So all these false religions that will, there'll be an amalgamation of them until the end. And then eventually it'll be, you got to take the mark of the beast. You got to worship him. And Satan will want all the focus to be on the man he possesses. This is very important because right now, guess what the Pope is called? Vicarius Christi.
Yeah.
Which is the Latin vicar for Christ, the vicar of Christ in English, which vicar is what? What does that mean? It means instead of, he's a substitute, like vicarious atonement. We talk about the vicarious atonement, meaning the substitutionary atonement.
Yeah.
But that Jesus suffered on our behalf for us, right? Vicar of Christ means instead of the substitute of Christ. He is the representation of Christ on the earth. Now, brothers and sisters, that's what the Roman Catholic Church calls him. Okay, that he takes the place of Jesus on the earth. There's no vicar of Christ in the New Testament. Show me where it says vicar of Christ. Show me where it says the word pope. Show me where it says the word cardinal or college of cardinals. You won't find it. By the way, vicar instead of, guess what that translates into the Greek? Anti.
Yeah.
When we see the word antichrist, anti can mean against in the Greek or instead of.
Instead of, yeah.
So it's interesting, and guess what? It's both, because he sits in the temple of God, the Antichrist, showing himself that he is God. It's instead of, as opposed to all that is worshipped or to be worshipped, right? So he comes against Christianity, but he sits there instead, the Antichrist of Christ, okay, or of God. But guess what? The false prophet will very likely be the Pope. And right now, guess what? Islam teaches that there's going to be a coming world dictator, and though that Isa will come, you know, represent Christianity and tell people to worship this or follow, I should say, this coming dictator, and he'll come and rule for 7 years, and he'll go into the land of the Jews. Well, this is all right out of the Bible. They just inverted it. They turned the Bible upside down, and they're preparing their people for this. Is we're talking about those who follow the Hadith, of course. You know, not the Sunnis.
You'd have to. There's very few Quran only.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all a big setup. So, and by the way, brothers and sisters, keep this in mind. The Roman Catholic Mass is not Christian. You can't celebrate the Mass and follow Roman Catholicism and put your trust in these Roman teachings and follow Jesus at the same time, because they practice transubstantiation. They believe that the body or the bread that when the priest does the Mass and he so supposedly blesses the bread, that it usually, because they call it transubstantiation, the substance is being transformed into the body, the physical body of Christ, and the blood, the cup is being transformed into the blood of Christ, and they're actually having a sacrifice. They believe Christ is being sacrificed again and again every day. The Bible says, Jesus said, it is finished, man. The Bible says in Hebrews 7 times,
over and
it's
over again,
once for all. There's one sacrifice. It's finished on the cross. Jesus already died for us. In Roman Catholicism, there's a different Jesus. There's ongoing sacrifice of Jesus, transubstantiation. There's the vicar of Christ. There's all these false things, and there's what we call, or they call, purgatory, where you have to be purged for your sins after your life and pay for your own sins. Guess what? Jesus, it says, was purged for our sins, Hebrews chapter 1. He was purged. Hebrews 1, the first few verses, sat at the right hand of the Father. He is our purgatory. He already was purged for our, he died for our sins, so our sins can be purged because he paid for them once for all. Amen. We don't need to go to purgatory. He is our purgatory. Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.